cause I'm a picker, I'm a grinner, I'm a lover, and I'm a sinner. I play my music.
This is your music.
This is my music. Steve Miller, baby, I love it.
We're joined with Greg Peterson, the urban farmer, his a pretty visionary person who 30 years ago said, you know what, I'm gonna set out to change the entire food industry in Phoenix by helping people grow their own. That's visionary.
Thanks. Well, I just, you know, in the 70s, I knew something was up. I was, you know, in my early teens in the 70s. I wrote a paper in 1974 on how we were overfishing the oceans. I, you know, to this day, I don't know how that, I knew that, but I knew that. And so, my goal each day is to transform our food system.
Now, have you gotten into aquaponics, speaking of fishing at all?
Oh, my gosh, yes. In fact, that's where I started my first business. I've been self-employed for 41 years. My first business here in Phoenix, I used to clean, service, and build fish ponds. I did it for about a decade.
Edible fish, not like a koi pond fish.
No, ponds as well.
Okay.
Yeah, I did both, aquaculture and aquaponics back then. They didn't call it that back then, but...
Yeah, back then it was just ponds.
Yeah.
Fish food.
Yeah. In fact, I used to convert swimming pools into aquaculture ponds, food fish ponds. Yeah.
Aquaculture pond.
Yeah.
So I do want to talk about that, but we've got to stay on topic.
Let's do
it. We're going to have you on a monthly basis. We'll schedule the aquaponic follow-up for another time.
Fantastic.
So we're on our citrus mission here today.
Yeah. So what to put in the hole? So it's really important.
A tree with roots.
A tree with roots, absolutely. So, and it always kind of, it's for me, it's like, that people would actually tell you to put a tree in 100% native soil. Because 100% native soil is really just dirt. And what we need to do is we need to give healthy soil, which is a combination of organic matter and native soil, for the trees and really your gardens to grow. So what we suggest at the Urban Farm Nursery, we suggest 60% organic matter, premium potting soil, compost, something that's composted down, and 40% native soil. And we mix that in a wheelbarrow, and then we add several things to it. And the several things are the bonus round of it. Mycorrhiza fungi is an inoculant that adds life to the soil. We add azomite or other rock dust minerals. Azomite is a micronutrient that really boosts the tree's health. And worm castings, which is worm castings are one of the best garden fertilizers we can get a hold of. So we add an ounce of mycorrhiza, a pound of azomite, and a pound of worm castings in the 60-40 mix. Mix it up, and then plant the tree.
So inquiring minds, how long does it take to get a pound of worm castings?
Well,
how
it depends
many worms
how much...
does it take to get a pound of...
There you go.
Castings is a manure, basically.
It's worm poop.
Worm poop.
Worm poop, exactly.
How many pounds? It takes hundreds of worms.
It does, and the nice thing is, in a pound of worms, there's 1,000 worms. And, if you start a worm bucket, which is easy to do, in fact, we have a class coming up this month or next month coming, on building your own worm bin, you can get, 5 or 10 pounds a year from, just your food scraps in your kitchen.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
And where do you put, I'm assuming this is something I could find at the urban farm, how big of a space do you need for that worm casting?
For the worm bin?
But worm bin.
Yeah, well, you can do it in something as small as a 15-gallon tub.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
You get that at any feed store.
Exactly. Feed store or, hardware store. Exactly.
If you'd like to talk to the urban farmer, it's the urban
farmer
Greg Peterson. It's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. There's a variety of information you have available online.
Oh, yes.
Your website is very extensive.
Yeah. And in fact, we put out a series of emails at urbanfruittree.org. And that's how to grow, how to grow and plant fruit trees. It's a whole series of educational series. That's what I'm really all about. I'm all about educating people and connecting them with their food supply and how do you grow your own.
In a desert area, our food supply
Well, really, I think I know where you're going with this.
It comes on a lot of 18-wheelers.
Yes, exactly. There's actually in this.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No, it's you know what? Here's the thing. Our food system in this country feeds 330 million people a day. That is brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. And one of the problems with it is there's a three-day supply of food in any urban area. So mine is the backup plan, teaching you how to grow your own healthy food. And then at the same time, you're growing healthy food, which is better for you than what you can often find in the grocery store.
And we had a caller earlier who was combating. If you grow it, they will come. Birds, insects, worms.
Yes. The birds.
We talked earlier about not growing a peach tree above, you know, 8 feet because it's basically bird food up there.
Right.
And Lynn couldn't hold, but he called in and said, that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm feeding the birds. Is there a way to keep the birds out of
it's
there?
It's absolutely really simple. First of all, don't use bird netting.
Don't.
Do not use bird netting. Bird netting tangles with birds, it kills birds, and it tangles in the tree, and then you have to cut it out. There's something a whole lot simpler to use. It's called tulle. T-U-L-L-E. You find it at the fabric store. They make tutus out of it.
Okay.
And when your fruit is getting to the point of almost ripening, basically on this, you know, this 8 foot tall tree that we've created, right? You just net the tulle over it and attach it underneath the tree. And then you take it, you know, once every 2 days or so, you take the tulle off, you harvest the fruit, and then you put the tulle back on.
And a peach harvest is a 4 to 6 weeks? So it's not something you're doing year round. It's just harvest time.
Actually, I'm going to say 2 to 3 weeks.
Real quick.
Yeah.
Out my bathroom window is where my peach trees are.
Uh-huh.
And that narrow month where they're blooming is probably my favorite time of year. That is just a gorgeous bloom.
It's like right now. They're probably getting pretty close to blooming. I've already
close.
My desert gold peach has already set fruit. It was blooming a month ago, practically.
Wow.
Yeah.
We haven't quite got that far in ours, but, man, those peach blooms are incredible.
Oh, yeah.
What are some of your favorite? I'm not going to jump into stone fruits because we're kind of on the citrus.
Yeah, that's like.
There's a lot of citrus varieties out there. Oh. They've grafted numerous different types.
Oh, yeah.
What are some of your favorites? I can't.
Trovita orange. A Trovita orange is a nice squeezing orange, and it's a really nice eating orange. And, you know, they're baseball size or a little bit bigger, and they ripen January, February time frame, and they can stay on the tree for, you know, into March if you don't eat them all first. It's a heavy producer, they're fairly easy to peel. So it's a great peeling orange and a great, so for eating, and then a great juicing orange. And then the Caracara navel is a pink navel. We had some of those on the show, last month or something?
We did.
Yeah. Really, really nice. Gold nugget mandarin is up to a baseball size mandarin. It's a really easy peel, and it tastes just delish.
Now, there is, I don't know if it's, but have you seen cuties in the grocery store?
Oh, yeah.
My kids just eat up cuties. Yeah. What's the closest thing to a cutie we could plant?
Yeah, so cuties aren't a particular variety. Cuties are this category of marketing that they've created. And so there's clementines, I'm drawing a blank on that, but there's about a half a dozen of them that kind of fall in that cutie category.
Like a mini edible?
Yeah, that are easy to peel and, you know, great for kids that have fun with.
Well, and the size of it's perfect.
A
lot of times you give them the bigger one, and they end up giving you 3/4 of it back wrap.
Perfect for kids, then.
Or throw it at their sister.
Yeah,
brother
there you
and
go.
Sister.
There you go.
Turns into a food fight. So once we've got our citrus location identified, and we've got our whole dug, and you've got your organic matter mixed with the other ingredients you mentioned earlier, if somebody wanted to catch that again, you could go to rosieonthehouse.com and catch this podcast here at the end of the hour. It'll be uploaded. You can re-listen to this segment, but to get all those different ingredients, the fungi and the worm castings and all the
Rhiza, yeah.
and that correct cocktail mix of soil. You've got your bubbler in.
Yep.
How long till I get fruit?
3 years.
3 years.
Yeah. Now, people say, I don't want to wait that long. And you know, sometimes
3 years is a blink of the eye.
Right. 3 years is a blink of the eye. Yes. And sometimes you're going to get it in 2 years. You don't want fruit setting the first year. So year one, because you really want the tree. Because anytime you transplant a tree, you put it into shock. So you want to put your tree in, and any fruit that shows up, you want to take off the first year. And often with citrus, it'll self-thin. They'll just fall off. So you might get something the second year, but with this cocktail mix, as you called it, if you do that, you know, it's very likely you're going to start getting a harvest the third year.
And on that harvest, do I need to worry about going out there and thinning any of the buds? Do I need to worry about cross-pollinating anything?
The cool thing about citrus is there's plenty of them in the valley to, you know, to cross-pollinate with, but they are self-fertile. That's a term fruit trees. Self-fertile means that you don't need something for it to cross-pollinate with. And they are self-thinning. So the citrus trees will thin out what's too much for them.
That's probably my favorite thing about them.
Yeah.
They're once you get them going and established,
yeah,
you really don't, you know, fertilize them.
Right, exactly.
You and still got to feed them year over year.
Right. And the pruning for citrus trees, I get this question a lot. Pruning citrus trees are really simple. You prune it for the size and shape that you want it, and you take out the dead.
Size and shape you want and take out the dead.
Yeah, and you can keep a standard size citrus
tree. That's pretty simple.
12, you know, 8 feet by 6 feet. You can keep them small. You just have to prune them.
Keep them hedge-sized. And again, it goes back to your harvesting. That small of a citrus shrub at that point, or whatever.
Bush.
It's still going to produce more than you're probably going to be able to eat.
It depends. I used to go to B&B Orchards out in Mesa 10 years ago, and I'd buy 80 pounds of navels a month and eat them all.
So, 80 pounds.
Yeah. The cool thing for me, I've got like 14 trovitas and navels in my yard at the urban farm, and I finally got it to the point where I'm growing enough that I can share them with my mom.
That's a citrus diet right
there. Well, you know, this time of year, I'll eat 4 to 6 of them a day.
Oh, and then if you're juicing them, you know, that chews them up pretty quick.
Exactly.
Too. But
exactly.
There's nothing better than real hand squeeze. Like, you go to the store and it's like pulp free. I'm like, what?
Right, exactly.
What? No.
Exactly.
Give me the country cut. You got to taste that pulp or it's not citrus.
Yeah.
So if you'd like to talk to the urban farmer, Greg Peterson, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you, as we broadcast live from Esteban Park for Arizona Community Tree Council's annual tree climbing competition.
It's beautiful out here.